Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 704. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline. I'm looking around. I believe he's downstairs at the moment. He's somewhere about, roaming about. He might be up here at some point to check out what's going on. He's probably laying on the moving blankets downstairs. But, it is Valentine's Day as I'm recording this. Man, last night, I didn't realize until late. This is so weird. You know, normally I'm on the ball with this shit. But, of course, yesterday was Friday the 13th. And, which is much more an important holiday for me than, say, Valentine's Day. it's always been a more important holiday to me. It comes, you know, sometimes, or usually like multiple times a year. But, always loved that growing up, back when I had, like, cable and such, before I had Friday the 13th, like, everyone on, like, DVD, or I've got some, most of them on Amazon Prime, so I can just stream them whenever I want to. But before then, you know, and I had cable back in the day, I'm old as shit, so before streaming videos online, I had the cable, and I would get super excited, of course, when Friday the 13th would come along, because there would usually be like three or four channels on cable that would have Friday the 13th marathons. And I would have, three or four to choose from at a time. And so, like, it was usually I'd get to watch whatever one was, you know, on TV. But I would have, again, a selection of at least a couple to choose from. And so it was always exciting. Oh, shit, they're playing part six tonight. Was it a new beginning? No, I think that's part five. Part six was it Jason Lives or shit? New Blood is part four. That's the one with Crispin Glover and Corey Feldman. Yesterday, of course, Friday the 13th, I digressed a little bit here. But what I was going to say is, yeah, I made it through work and, didn't realize it was. I knew today was Valentine's Day, Saturday the 14th, and yet it did not occur to me. Because I don't really look at the date that much anymore. My old job, I was doing different orders all the time, like constantly, you know, every day I can do, you know. What the hell? I'm getting some kind of audio. I don't know what that's from. What is that audio from? there's some fucking audio coming in through my computer. I don't know what I've got a website open and it's not supposed to have any audio going on. What the fuck? some stuff I was going to talk about in a minute. Anyway, yeah, my old job, I would do orders, you know, sometimes like 40, 50 different orders in a day. And there was a due date on all those orders. And I had to watch out the due date and be aware of what the deadlines were. So I was constantly aware of what the date was. My job now, I don't really look at paperwork much. I'm the guy in the middle on the jig. And even our paperwork for the different jobs that we have, it's not like there's probably a due date on there somewhere, but I mean, pretty much, you know, as the paperwork comes through, we just do it in order that they give it to us. It's not that stuff. When the stuff's due, it's more for the management to worry about. We just do what they give us in order. so I'm not constantly looking at the date. or caring about the date. Although I gotta, you know, I gotta be somewhat alert because, you know, I do have bills to pay and such. So I have somewhat of a concept of what day it is-ish. But I really don't know how it did not occur to me till last night that it was Friday the 13th. Like, it wasn't until like 7 or 8 at night. And it was like, holy shit, it's Friday the 13th. What the fuck? And it didn't hit me. And sad. It was sad that that didn't occur to me till late. Again, I should have known that. Again, I knew I wasn't really paying that much attention to which day was Valentine's Day, but I had known because this and that, that it was Valentine's Day. I mean, there's, you know, all kinds of shit about it at the store. I knew Valentine's Day was coming up. I was aware yesterday that Valentine's Day was today. Again, that somehow I can't do math. This was Friday the 13th. I don't remember what it was that tipped me off finally that it was Friday the 13th last night, but I, after work, went to get Mexican over at Ernesto's, my buddy John, and had a strawberry margarita and tacos de carne asada. Good stuff. They also, Ernesto's, has a pretty solid TikTok, I gotta say. They've got like, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 followers. It's a decent size, you know, channel, especially for like a local business around here. I mean, that's quite a bit. But they got some entertaining stuff on there. Ernesto's got some pretty funny stuff. Anyway, wasn't aware of it then. Did not occur to me that it was Friday the 13th. And, I took a nap after the after having that margarita and such because I didn't really be getting a whole lot of sleep. So like I was beat after eating a big meal and a margarita, and I was out until like seven something at night, and then I came to, and I guess I must have seen something on Instagram or maybe YouTube that tipped me off like, oh shit, it's Friday the 13th, and I was like, God damn it. But after I cleaned Fox's litter box and then played a little bit of Call of Duty with some the work friends, and then I did watch Friday the 13th Part 7, which of course is Kane Hodder's first venture or foray into the world of playing Jason Voorhees, which he would go on to play. See Jason in, of course, Part 7, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. And then Part 7, was that New Blood? Fuck, I don't remember. 8 is Jason Takes Manhattan. Then you go 9, which is the start of the new line. You got Paramount is 1 through 8. And then they sell the rights to New Line. They, of course, make Jason Goes to Hell, which I would say is the worst. The worst of the Friday the 13th, which, you know, a lot of people say it's Part 10. A lot of people say Jason X is it. I would argue, though, that there's some, like, entertaining shit in Jason X. It's pretty bad. I would rank it as, like, the second worst. But, of course, like, Kane Hodder would go on to play, from Part 7 on through to Jason X. And then they replaced him for Freddy vs. Jason. And then Kane Hodder would come back to reprise his role for the Friday the 13th game. Which I'm still, you know, which there's apparently ways, there's Discord servers set up to where you can play Friday the 13th the game through there. I have not attempted to do that. I love that game so much. So much. And I was looking last night to see if there was new details on the new game, and there is not. But I hear the Halloween game that they're going to be putting out here soon is basically the Friday the 13th game, which sounds great. I did play the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one a little bit. It was all right. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't into it like I was the Friday the 13th game. That game was just fucking awesome. I love that fucking game. Which I like Halloween, but I don't know. I grew up, I mean, I watched the show. Nightmare on Elm Street, I probably watched more than Friday the 13th. But Friday the 13th, you know, every Friday the 13th, I was watching Friday the 13th. Which, you know, happens a couple times a year. And I don't know, the music, the hockey mask. It's, you know, they're cheesy as shit. At least most of them. And, I didn't mention too. Yeah, Kane Hodder was out for the reboot that New Line did as well. He was not in that one. Anyway. They did have, I don't know if it's still like this today or when I will upload this podcast, of course, as tomorrow will be the day I do that, Sunday. As of Friday, I don't know if they did it just for Friday the 13th, but on Amazon Prime, they had all 8 of the Paramount Friday the 13th. Of course, that's number 1 through 8, were on sale as a bundle for $13, and I had to get it, even though I have all of them on DVD. And, well, I got the reboot on Blu-ray, I think. But the rest of them I all have on DVD. But it is so much easier to just, you know, flip over to my fucking Amazon Prime and, of course, stream the shit. I do like having physical copies of a lot of stuff. But DVD is not that great a quality. But there's a lot of stuff, you know, I really like to have the physical copy of, because you can't rely necessarily on a lot of streaming services. Although Amazon Prime's pretty, you know, Amazon's pretty big fucking company. It's hard to imagine them disappearing. But I know I own a lot of stuff on PlayStation on their store, which I can still access most of the stuff I bought off there as far as videos and TV or movies and TV shows are concerned. But there's some stuff that has been pulled, you know, I mean, you can't buy the stuff anymore on the PlayStation store, because they shut that part of it down, but you can still access as and watch the stuff that you had previously bought, but they've even removed some of those, even if you bought it. So, you know, there's, and that's a big time company, Sony. So it's possible that, you know, other streaming services could take shit down. You know, I own a few things on Vudu, which turned into something else, whatever it is now. Was it Fandango? I don't know. I got a couple of different streaming services that I own shit on. I used to buy it. I bought a lot of shit on the PlayStation Store back when that was, you were able to buy movies and TV shows on there. But I've got a decent amount on Amazon. Amazon, the company, is fucking terrible. But they've fucking got me. I'm sucked in. I can't fucking get away from it. Jeff Bezos and his cock rockets, you know, or I'm just like funding his rockets and not helping his employees much. you know. Anyway. But I do like, what I was going to say is I like a lot of stuff about Amazon Prime's streaming is that they've got it set up to where you can look at the cast, who's in a scene. And then, of course, I haven't looked at it much, but they've changed it a little bit now. Not only can you look at the actors in the scene, but, of course, you can also pull up trivia and stuff. So there's some cool things that you don't see, like, on Netflix or any other streaming service that I'm aware of. I mean, I really like being able to just see just the actors in the scene. As someone that's, you know, always interested in film. And, you know, back in the day, back when my memory worked really well, that I could just name off what actors were in what scenes and stuff, what movies, and be like, they've been in yada, yada, yada. I loved playing the game, the 5 degrees of separation, or with Kevin Bacon or whatever, the old game that I guess there was, you could buy a game eventually, but originally it just became like, you know, you could pick any, or what is it? 6 degrees of separation, whatever it was, whatever moves, six or seven, I don't remember what it is. You had to connect one actor to another to get to Kevin Bacon. You had to do within a certain amount. I mean, Kevin Bacon's been in so many films, and you could connect, you know, even actors probably from like silent film era, if you could, you know, it was, if you knew your shit, you could really connect him to it. Cause like, again, like he started his first, I don't remember, was it his first film? Of course it was Friday the 13th, I believe, or at least one of his early films. It was the original where he gets the arrow through his neck. And, yeah, you know, I liked being able to do that. And, of course, my memory was really good back then. I don't know half the actors' names, I'll admit. I don't pay attention as much to, like, directors and stuff. You know, bigger stuff I'll know. And I might know, like, you know, showrunner of this or that. But, you know, I watch so much stuff nowadays to where... I'm just not paying as much attention to, you know, who wrote it and yada yada. And it's so easy to access that information, especially on Amazon Prime. But I think I don't pay as much attention, because if I want to know ever, I can just go to IMDb. It's like, once you have access to a calculator, why are you going to bother to really... write anything down as far as doing a math equation and be like, I'm just going to put this in the fucking calculator. Even if you're actually quicker doing it by, you know, doing it the old fashioned way, like long division. I haven't had to do that in a long time. I'd have to really fucking refresh my memory how to do long division. That's usually, I just use a calculator for that. Even though, you know, when I was doing long division, via, writing it down, I was pretty quick at it. Anyway, you know, it's just a sign of the times. Anyway, I don't really have much to say new about the Epstein files, although more stuff just comes out and out and out about that. It's you know, crazy shit. There's a lot, as that's been like mainly my YouTube feed, is just more shit on that. And, yeah, that guy, like I talked last week, it was, you know, I mean, he's the cancer man. He's behind everything. Whereas like there's even photos of Ghislaine Maxwell, like photo bombing, JonBenet Ramsey, that her name eluded me for a second there. Anyway, that's, you know, that's crazy shit. You know, there's fuckers are everywhere. I know that there's, you know, I've heard mentioned, it's, you go down the conspiracy rabbit hole. It starts to get a little difficult to find out, you know, what's true and what's not. Is there some truth to it? Because it could very well be going with how fucking crazy, you know, that whole Epstein world shit is. It's a little crazy. Anyway, like I've heard people suggest that Epstein's involved. No credible stuff that there was, and I don't think there's anything about it in the Epstein files, but that it had stuff to do with Chris Cornell, the Linkin Park frontman, his name alludes, Chester Bennington, and that somehow was involved in their suicides, and Kurt Cobain as well. But there is, I don't know that there's any links there. Though I got to say, I've talked about it years ago. If there's ever been one conspiracy that I believed to be, like, there to be a serious conspiracy about, which obviously there's all kinds of shit in the Epstein stuff that are real. like, that's some sick, fucked up shit. But the Cobain the death of Kurt Cobain. I never really thought that was a suicide. I don't know that I can come out and say Courtney Love killed him, but she's awfully litigious. I highly doubt she'd come after a small podcaster like myself, but you never know. Again, but there is, holy shit, you know, it just made the news again. They're not opening an actual investigation into, a reopening investigation. I mean, this happened and he died in 94. in 94. And the story goes, you know, the official ruling is that he unalived himself. As they say nowadays, because you can't say suicide on YouTube and whatnot. Which the censorship on YouTube is fucking ridiculous these days. The shit you can't say. Like, you can't say rape. Like, essay. You gotta say essay for sexual assault. Like, what the fuck? anyway, this is what they have to say about... I was trying to find some better articles on Cobain. But, I mean, the information about his autopsy has been out there forever. And you can see, you know... photos from the scene, and it never really added up. Before I get into this too, I mean, the whole stuff surrounding the death, I don't remember how long his death was after his big overdose. So he had an overdose, I would say it's only like a few months in between that, and I think he was in Italy. I think he was in Europe somewhere when he had... was he in Rome? I'm not sure. But he had the big overdose where he's in the hospital and he almost dies. And so then, like, Nirvana goes on hiatus. And he went to rehab. And then, of course, he killed himself. Well, he dies. right after, like, getting, like, checking himself out of rehab. Like pretty much like right after, but like while he was in rehab, I believe still in rehab, or maybe after he had checked himself out. I don't know the timeline. I haven't paid attention to this stuff for a long time. not something I read up about a lot. I mean, what did happen fucking 32 years ago, or we're almost coming up on the 32 year anniversary. So, it hasn't been, you know, something I've been focused on every day of my life. Though, you know, I enjoy a lot of Kurt's music, with Nirvana, of course. And, you know, it's fucking sucks. But, you know, I've moved on. I didn't know the guy personally. but, that was the Courtney Love, like, before he was found dead. She had hired a private investigator to, try to go find Kurt. And I forgot what exactly her initial reasoning was to get the private investigator. But it definitely seemed as though Kurt wanted to end the marriage between the two. And, he wanted to end Nirvana, I believe. And there was going to be a loss of a lot of money because they were going to make a fuck ton of money off touring. And, you know, he was worn out. I mean, he was doing a lot of heroin. He was, apparently too, from what I understand, the reason why, or his excuse for using heroin is because he had some serious stomach problems and that he would do that to quell the pain. I mean, I would think that, I would hope that there'd be better ways to medicate yourself. I mean, the guy was mega rich at the point of the height of Nirvana, you know. You'd think he would have been able to get a doctor to give him something less lethal or less of a problem than heroin. And that they could have, maybe he just didn't trust doctors. But of course, by the time he made it rich, I mean, he was already a heroin addict. He was... I mean, Bleach, the name Bleach, you know, the name of the first album by Nirvana. The referencing like cleaning heroin needles with bleach. But I mean, yeah, he was a heroin. I guess once you're down that hole, hard to get out. Anyway. I guess I'll go and read this article from the Daily Mail that gets into like why they're this is making news again, which it doesn't appear that it's like giving any new news. But it's interesting that it's bringing up that a lot of people are talking about it now because, I mean, it seems that, I mean, the evidence to me would suggest that he did not kill himself. And it's not just one thing. Like, if it was just the fact that he shot himself after taking a lethal dose of heroin, then I could, you know, the fact that he was a major heroin user, like he was, you know, the Michael Jordan of heroin users, could suggest like, oh, maybe you could take a massively lethal dose and still be able to shoot yourself afterwards. But there's more than just that. Things just don't add up. But here we go. Here's what the Daily Mail's. I'm already like thinking like, is Courtney Love gonna fucking sue me? Like looking out the window. Highly doubt it. She's got, you know, she's ultra wealthy and does not probably give a fuck at this point. As Tom Grant, the private eye that she did hire, he's made a lot of money off talking about this through the years. But I would think he's more of a problem to her because he's got hours of audio of her talking and it's damning shit. Now, she doesn't say anything about she's going to have Kurt killed. I haven't listened to this shit in a long time, but I mean, it's very highly suspect, the shit that she's saying. And I wouldn't trust Courtney Love. This is all I can really say about that. Anyway, here's the article off the Daily Mail. Exclusive. Kurt Cobain's death was homicide. Shocking new forensic investigation questions suicide ruling. His death, this is by Stacy Liberatore, U.S. science and technology editor. His death shocked fans and sent ripples through the music world. But decades later, Kurt Cobain's final moments are under renewed scrutiny. The Nirvana lead singer died on April 5th, 1994, at age 27 from a self-inflicted shotgun wound at his Seattle home. At the time, the King County Medical Examiner ruled his death a suicide by a Remington Model 11 20-gauge shotgun. Now an unofficial private sector team of forensic scientists has put fresh eyes on Cobain's autopsy and crime scene materials, bringing in Brian Burnett, a specialist who previously worked on cases involving overdoses followed by gunshot trauma. Independent researcher Michelle Wilkins, who worked with the team, told the Daily Mail that after just 3 days looking into the evidence with fresh eyes, Burnett said, "This is a homicide. We've got to do something about this." She said the conclusion followed an exhaustive review of the autopsy findings, which revealed signs inconsistent with an instantaneous gunshot death. The peer-reviewed paper presented 10 points of evidence suggesting Cobain was confronted by one or more assailants who forced a heroin overdose to incapacitate him before one of them shot him in the head, placed the gun in his arms, and left behind a forged suicide note. "There are things in the autopsy that go, well, wait. This person didn't die very quickly of a gunshot blast," Wilkins said, pointing to organ damage associated with oxygen deprivation. "The necrosis of the brain and liver happens in an overdose. It doesn't happen in a shotgun death." And they got photos here of Kurt Cobain's shotgun held by Detective Mike Sosinski, who investigated Cobain's death. Burnett has decades of experience analyzing crime scenes. It should be noted, too, this shotgun, it's a rather long shotgun. If I was going to shoot myself, I don't think I would have picked that gun. What about 20 gauge, too? I would think I would want a stronger round than that. But I mean, I guess, you know, take it straight to the head. Doesn't really matter so much. Anyway, Burnett has decades of experience analyzing crime scenes, interpreting complex evidence. He has earned national recognition for his expert analysis in controversial cases like Marine Colonel James Sabow's death and the investigation into Billy Joe Johnson Jr., where his meticulous forensic reconstructions challenged official findings. A spokesman for the Medical Examiner's Office told the Daily Mail, King County Medical Examiner's Office worked with the local law enforcement agency, conducted a full autopsy, and followed all of its procedures in coming to the determination of the manner of death as a suicide. Our office is always open to revisiting its conclusions if new evidence comes to light, but we've seen nothing to date that would warrant reopening of this case and our previous determination of death. A spokesman from the Seattle Police Department told Daily Mail that they are not reopening the case. Our detective concluded that he died by suicide, and this continues to be the position held by this department, the spokesperson added. The Daily Mail reviewed Cobain's autopsy, which described how his body was found on the floor of the greenhouse above his garage. Examination of the miscellaneous papers in the left front pocket of Cobain's jeans reveals some writing in black ink reading Remington 20-gauge 2¾ shells, or shorter setup light shot, one yada yada yada, long number. The June 20, 1994 autopsy reads, Wilkins said, to me it looks like someone staged a movie and wanted you to be absolutely certain this was a suicide. The receipt for the gun is in his pocket. The receipt for the shells is in his pocket. The shells are lined up at his feet. And there's pictures of like Cobain's arm here. His watch. The placement of Cobain's hands and the lack of blood splatter raised further questions. The scientists determined that if Cobain's left hand was close to his mouth, it should have been covered in blood. And you can, it's an old grainy picture, but you can tell. I mean, there does not appear to be any blood. And the area where Cobain and had his hand is also clean of blood, suggesting his hand should have been covered. Let's see here. I'm not seeing. Okay, there's pictures of. All right. The new forensic report noted that Cobain's sleeves were rolled back and the heroin kit was found several feet away containing capped syringes, cotton buds, and pieces of black heroin of roughly equal size. We're supposed to believe he capped the needles and put everything back in order after shooting up three times, because that's what someone does while they're dying, Wilkins said. Suicides are messy, and this was a very clean scene. But, you know, maybe he's worried about whoever finds him. They're going to have to clean this up. It's just being, you know, he's a thoughtful guy. Police on the investigation said Cobain injected himself with 10 times the normal amount even a heavy heroin user would have used. But we got to say, this was like the Michael Jordan of heroin users. Although, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know he used heroin, but I imagine there's probably, you know, old jazz guys and stuff that probably used more heroin than Cobain. I honestly don't know how much he was using. He was just using it often. I know that. I don't know that there's a record of how much he actually used, but, you know, I just think of him as a elite level heroin user. I would just think because he could afford to do it. Cobain's autopsy showed fluid in the lungs, bleeding in the eyes, and damage to the brain and liver. These findings, according to the forensic report, are unusual for a quick gunshot death, but are common in deaths from heroin overdoses, which cause slow breathing and low blood flow. The eye bleeding and organ damage suggested his body may have been starved of oxygen, which likely did not happen from the gunshot alone. The team concluded, in most head gunshot deaths, blood is often drawn into the airways, but Cobain's autopsy did not mention this. While brain injuries can sometimes stop breathing, this usually happens shortly after the trauma, and with such a severe injury, some blood in the airways would normally be expected. The autopsy report suggests his brainstem, which controls breathing, was likely not damaged, and his arm position also indicated he did not have the rigid posturing usually seen with brainstem injury. The forensic paper underwent peer review through the editorial process at the International Journal of Forensic Science before being accepted for publication. Wilkins argued that Cobain may have been physically incapacitated before the fatal gunshot. His rig does look, you know, off tidy, heroin thing. Although, I mean, the heroin's still kind of laying out on the spoon. Anyway, he's dying of an overdose, and so he can barely breathe. His blood isn't pumping very much, she said. So that means the brain and liver aren't getting oxygen, and they're starving, and they're dying. She added that the size and mechanics of the gun made it improbable that a comatose Cobain could have handled it. And I mean, why would you bother with the gun after just taking that much heroin? Just let it, you know, just ride it out. Although, I don't know, maybe it's like extremely painful. I'm not going to try it to to judge. If you look at the crime scene photos, you can see how big that gun is. She said, imagine he's comatose and dying, and also the way that he would have had to hold it, it's 6 pounds. I mean, I guess that's kind of heavy for a gun, but I mean, you know, my guitars are heavier than that. The placement of Cobain's hands and the lack of blood spatter raised further questions. which actually, I think my side note, my SG is like right around 6-7 pounds, which is my lightest guitar. Anyway, his left hand was tightly wrapped around the muzzle end of the gun's barrel. Yet the shotgun shell was found on top of a pile of clothes opposite the expected ejection direction. So he's dying of an overdose. I mean, he's in a coma, and he's holding this up to be able to reach the trigger to get it in his mouth. It's crazy, Wilkins said. Again, this is a long fucking gun. The team replicated the weapon and found, if your hand is on the forward barrel where Kurt's hand was reported to be in the SPD report, the gun wouldn't eject a shell at all, Wilkins said. So not only is there a shell where it shouldn't be, there shouldn't even be a shotgun shell. She also highlighted that Cobain's left hand was unusually clean. If you ever look at photos of shotgun suicides, they are brutal. There is no universe where that hand is not covered in blood you could eat off of. Well, I mean, gross, but like, his hand is so clean. Yeah, eating off a corpse's hand, I wouldn't recommend it. According to the report, the homicide scenario is that Cobain's left hand was placed on the weapon after death, explaining the thumbprint-like mark observed on his hand. In forensic investigations, such a stain can help reconstruct events by showing what the individual touched or how a substance was transferred. Wilkins also cited blood patterns suggesting the body may have been moved. There's also blood on the bottom of his shirt. She said the only way the blood would get on his shirt is if Kurt was lifted and his head was down. There's no blood on his hand. There's no blood on the rest of his shirt, but there's a big blood stain on the bottom of his shirt. The alleged suicide note was also scrutinized. The top of the note is written by Kurt, Wilkins said. There's nothing about suicide in that. It's basically just him talking about quitting the band. She added, then there are four lines at the bottom. If you even look at the note, you can see that the last four lines are written in different. The text is a little bit different. It's bigger. It looks more scrawly. Wilkins emphasized that the team is not seeking arrest, but wants transparency and a reexamination of the evidence. We weren't saying arrest people tomorrow, she said. We were saying you have these, the extra evidence that we don't have. Wilkins also noted that she has spoken to families who loved ones took their lives because of Cobain's suicide. In 2022, a kid took his life because he believed Cobain did. The copycat suicides have never stopped. Requests to reopen the case have been declined. They both came back with no. Wilkins said, like, we're not even looking at your evidence. For her, the goal remains simple. If we're wrong, just prove it to us. That's all we ask them to do. That information, everything I've read in there, I mean, I've heard that all before and for years. I mean, there's been they're saying like this is for the first time. This is not the first time this evidence has come to light. I mean, people have scrutinized his autopsy and just the crime scene photos for years. It's not new. I mean, I think it's good to like bring back the conversation. It would be nice if they would actually reinvestigate the shit, you know? But it doesn't appear that Seattle Police Department ever wants to reopen that can of worms. Or at least, you know, maybe they will in like 30 years. Maybe if Courtney Love dies of an overdose tomorrow, we'll be like, maybe we'll look into this now that she's not with us anymore. But she's still alive. And very, very, again, very litigious if she had anything to do with that. Yeah, or if I were to suggest that. But, oh, man, there's just so much to that. I would think, you know, if you want to murder someone and they happen to be a massive drug addict, that's like the person that is easily to, you know, if you're going to make it look like a suicide, if they're a massive, you know, drug addict, a lot easier to do. And, you know, honestly, I would think, in Cobain's case, you'd think, you know, that they would have put more scrutiny over the whole thing because he was such a celebrity. But, you know, I would think that most people that are drug addicts that are not rich and famous, that the cops probably don't investigate it that much. I don't know. You know, I'm not a police officer. I was going to look up Tom Grant real quick. As that guy, I mean, Tom Grant is definitely private investigator. Apparently, there's more than one Tom Grant that's big on YouTube. You got to specify. Which there is a documentary, I think it was on Netflix at one point. It's called Soaked in Bleach, but it follows Tom Grant. But, I mean, there's all kinds of shit about this on the web. There is, let's see here. Oh, he was on Unsolved Mysteries at one point, 1987, before Kurt Cobain's death. He was on Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know what that was over. Let's see here. The CobainCase.com. What do we got here? Unpacking Cobain's 94 death investigation. So, yeah, this seems like it's an old website. I mean, shit, this website was probably started back in the day. They got like all the information. Do they have the audio from... they got Tom Grant's Cobain Case Facebook page. Oh, I can't look at it because I'm not logged into Facebook right now on this. Damn it. But apparently, yeah, he's got a 30 anniversary. There's a YouTube series. I haven't checked that out. I've seen I guess this would have been 2024, which would have been 30 years. I guess this is possibly, yeah, okay, this is Tom Grant's website. So I'll have to check out Tom Grant. Seems like he can be kind of sketchy. But he's got, on this website, he's got the telephone taped conversations. that is all the conversations he had with Courtney Love. I mean, there's all kinds of shit on this website. I guess he's got taped conversations with multiple people. But there's stuff with Courtney Love. And his case outline. Let's see here. Let's go over a summary of events. There's a lot to it. I'm just curious about the stuff with why he was hired for the first place. I'll just go over that. There's just so much to dive into here. Like, it's fucking insane how much shit is in here. And this website is so old, like the graphics on it and stuff. I can't say much for my web design, you know, but I don't have any money. I'm not making money off this. I don't really care about my webpage design. Anyway, it's not quite as much as crazy as the, oh shit, what was the cult? I'm blanking. The UFO cult, which finally somebody stopped paying for their webpage to be held up. But Heaven's Gate, yeah, that was the one I'm thinking of. Because I don't think that Heaven's Gate's website is it. Last I checked. Let's see here. Heaven's Gate. Is there? Ba-ba-ba. No, I don't know that the... Let's see here. Website. I don't... Heaven's Gate website background. Ba-ba-ba. I want to find... Damn it. Yeah, I guess that... Yeah, it is probably gone. Although, maybe it's not. There's a Marshall... yeah, this is another rabbit hole I don't really need to go get to. But yeah, that's a classic fucking, here's the website. Oh, it is still up. I remember checking one point, it wasn't, but yeah, the Heaven's Gate, you can still see heavensgate.com. It is still, and man, that's early website shit. It is. Wow. This is crazy stuff that's still this, all this shit from 96 is like the most recent stuff. Their most recent video, I guess, is that one. I feel like they killed themselves earlier than that, but it must have been around that time. Yeah, that's freaky as fuck that's still around. Anyway, let's read over the summary, just a little bit of the summary events. You can go to CobainCase.com if you want to read up on all of it. I mean, there's all kinds of shit on here. Prior to my involvement, this is, of course, Tom Grant saying this. Courtney Love and her husband, Kurt Cobain, had not been getting along. They'd been talking about divorce. Kurt did not want to tour or perform anymore. He was walking away from what Courtney said was a $9.5 million contract to headline the Lollapalooza tour, which Shelley, my brother, was supposed to go to, or I think he did go to that. And of course, he did not get to see Nirvana because of this. Courtney was angry at Kurt for the possible loss of all those millions. Her anger wasn't working, so she tried to blame Kurt's attitude on his drug use and put together a so-called tough love intervention. Among others at the intervention were some of the junkies Kurt did drugs with, because who better to tell you need to get clean than people that are doing massive amounts of drugs? Which Courtney Love was still doing drugs at the time. She was also a junkie, so... Everybody involved, like, you need to, dude, we're fucked up, but you're real fucked up. You're passing up on millions of dollars here. You're going to fuck us all. Courtney claimed she told Kurt, this has got to end. You have to be a good daddy. This statement is somewhat pretentious since it came from a woman who was doing drugs when I was first hired and continued her drug use, and continued her drug use during the 8 months I worked for her. Oh, it was 8 months. I didn't realize it was that long. It's hard to believe Kurt could have taken this whole intervention scene seriously. Yeah, I wouldn't. That is, again, prior to her involvement. That's just lining that up. And then March 26th of 94, Courtney left Seattle for the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills on March 30th. Kurt and his best friend, Dylan Carlson, purchased a shotgun. Kurt told Dylan he was afraid of intruders at the house. Walking out on the Lollapalooza tour was a business decision that would cost others a great deal of money also. I have reason to believe Kurt may have been intimidated into believing his life would be in danger if he failed to do the tour. The shotgun was a 20-gauge setup for light load. This setup is what gun dealers often recommend for home protection because the shot won't penetrate walls and endanger those on the other side. Kurt took the shotgun to his house so it would be there when he got back from rehab. He then left Seattle to go to a rehab center in Marina Del Rey, California, near L.A. And then April 1st, 13 phone calls were made to Kurt's rehab center from Courtney's hotel room at the Peninsula. Most of these are to the patient's payphone. Courtney later told me she only talked to Kurt once that day. That evening, Kurt left rehab later at 8:47 p.m. He called the Peninsula Hotel and left a message for Courtney. This message on the hotel log reads, Elizabeth's phone number is 213, and the rest is blanked out. This number is in my case file. Courtney never mentioned this message to the media. It doesn't appear to be a message from a person who is suicidal. Kurt arrived in Seattle earlier Saturday morning, April 2nd, and was taken to his house on Lake Washington by a hired driver. Saturday night, Courtney had a friend plant a phony story with Associated Press that she had overdosed on drugs and was in the hospital. This planted story became significant later in the investigation, which I'm just going to read up until like the death, we'll call it that. Easter Sunday at the Peninsula, that is the Sunday, April the 3rd, Courtney called my office in Beverly Hills. She told me someone was using her husband's credit card and she wanted me to try to find out who it was. I took another investigator with me named Ben Klugman, or Klugman? Klugman? Anyway, we met Courtney at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills. If you leak this to the press, I'll sue the fuck out of you, Courtney warned me as we walked into the room. Which I believe she sued him multiple times at this point. I don't know what any of the status of that was. Courtney told us her husband was Kurt Cobain and that he just left a drug rehab. She said she lied to the credit card company and had his credit card canceled. She wanted us to call the credit card company and find out what the attempted activities were on this canceled card. I mentioned I couldn't understand why she needed us for that. This is very weird. I advised her she could do that herself and save some money. If we did it, I'd have to charge her $50 just to make a phone call. What, that's not enough money for you? Courtney responded sarcastically. Was got millions of dollars. We should care about $50. Courtney told us Kurt only had one credit card, and without that one card, he had no access to money. She said Kurt didn't have any friends or anyone else that might loan him money. Knowing now who we were dealing with, this didn't make sense. Yeah, no shit. By that point, he had a fuck ton of money. We questioned Courtney more about Kurt's ability to get money for his needs. This guy can't even catch a fucking cab by himself, she insisted. Which, maybe that's true. Courtney told us about a story she had planted with Associated Press previous evening. The story alleged that Courtney had overdosed and was in the hospital. She claimed the reason she did this was to scare Kurt and get his attention, so he tried to contact her. That's some fucked up shit, man. Later that afternoon, while I was with her in the hotel room, Courtney rambled on in an angry rage about the $9.5 million Kurt was walking away from. She said, if he doesn't want the money, he ought to do it for his child, for Francis. She said she'd do the Lollapalooza tour for Kurt if he didn't want to do it. She said she'd do Saturday Night Live if he didn't want to do it. She said she thought Kurt wanted a divorce. She mentioned a prenuptial agreement, but said, my name's on all the houses and assets. It's been a while since I've read into this shit, but yeah, that Soaked in Bleach documentary goes all into this. But holy shit, I'm almost to the murder here. Or death. Courtney said she didn't know for sure where Kurt was. She said he might be in Seattle or he may have flown back east to stay with Michael Stipe, of course, from REM. She failed to mention initially that Kurt had been seen at their Lake Washington house on Saturday morning, April 2nd, by Callie. It's Michael DeWitt, the male nanny who was living in the Cobain residence. Callie later claimed he informed Courtney on Saturday, April 2nd, that Kurt had been to the house earlier that morning. Callie said Kurt came into his bedroom and they had a short conversation. Courtney asked me to find someone in Seattle to watch a drug dealer's apartment and other locations in case Kurt turned up, but she didn't ask us to watch the Lake Washington house, the one place where we later learned Kurt had actually been seen. I subcontracted with the PI firm in Seattle for the surveillance. Let's see here. I mean, it just goes on and on. But April 8th is found. I mean, there's, I mean, it goes on and on. This is a long fucking, I mean, he documents all kinds of shit in here. But he has audio to like back up, I think most of the, I think all the phone conversations he at least had with her, like he's got recorded. But I imagine when you're a private investigator, you're going to deal with some shady people. Because, you know, I've never been a private investigator. I don't know personally know any private investigators, but I would imagine a lot of times people that are getting a private investigator are people that can't go to the police for what they're looking for. you know, sometimes the police just aren't doing the job, which, you know, happens. But, you know, there's, you can look into people without, of course, needing anything for, you know, if there wasn't a crime committed, you can just, like, if you're concerned that your spouse is cheating on you or whoever or whatever the deal is, you can be like, I don't want this person to investigate. You got enough money, you can find somebody to go fucking do this for you. I would imagine knowing that, the people that are getting private investigators themselves might be doing illegal activities. And you might be getting yourself into a shady situation. You might just want to, you might want to, you know, record your conversations with them and have somewhat of a record of it. which is, yeah, I would, I think you, yeah, you gotta, you gotta keep record of this shit. Don't fuck around, you know, as, yeah, that's, it's crazy shit though. And there's been multiple documentaries that the Soaked in Bleach one is like the bigger one that I'm aware of, that gets into the Cobain stuff. But this new stuff that's come out, like that I read in the Daily Mail there, that's all, as far as I remember, that stuff was all out there before. And, yeah, it, I would like them, you know, it would be great if, the police would, you know, maybe have another look at that. but I can see, you know, as we know these days, as, the Epstein files have proven, that people with a fuck ton of money can do whatever the fuck they want. That's the unfortunate reality of, the world. You're only as free as your bank account. And there was a lot of money involved in the death of Kurt Cobain. And the rights to his estate and whatnot. And like most of that went to Courtney Love, which then eventually went to his daughter, Frances, who was, I believe she was still an infant at the time of his death. But, you know, Courtney Love made a fuck ton of money and a lot more money after he died than before his death. And shit, I mean, if I remember correctly, and this is just off the top of my head, most of like Hole, that most of her big hits and stuff were written by Cobain. You know, and that she, that was the golden goose, man. Oh, sweet. I didn't get into it yet, but as I went down this rabbit hole, I just got a delivery from Amazon, but I've been back to painting as well. I don't know a good segue into this, but I am back to painting as now I've had a couple weeks where I'm off overtime. And so I couldn't use the excuse like, oh, I don't have time to do this anymore. But the last time I painted anything was before Germany. So it's been a long while. And so I got around to attempting to do it because I talked about it. I probably talked about it fairly recently, but of course, you know, I turned my whole downstairs into a movie theater, and I fucking decided learned that I hate painting, at least painting walls. You know, I like art. I used to like drawing and stuff, and painting's fun. Years ago I painted a Jason Voorhees mask after watching the YouTuber Big Hush show me how to do it properly. I did the part four of the Jason mask, and I gotta say that painting walls though, it's a pain in the ass. Mainly doing the corners. You know, if I could just do a segment of a wall and get nowhere near a corner, I'd be fine. Corners suck. You got to paint in with a paintbrush or cut in with a paintbrush. And, it's a whole lot of stuff. And so, yeah, I've been holding off. I mean, I came back from Germany in October, early October. It's now February. It is Valentine's Day as I'm recording this. And so, months have gone off the calendar. But I'm like, finally, I had planned on, because the kitchen and the dining room, there's just too much red on the walls, and that it needs something more to break it up. It's just too much of the red. I need something to break it up, get a little bit of more interesting for the eyes or something. It's just and I bought some wallpaper off Etsy that was the design from the red, orange, and black carpet from the Overlook Hotel in the movie The Shining, and very iconic, like hexagrams that are in there, and the wallpaper was one. It was very expensive. I didn't realize I didn't get anywhere near enough to cover. It's not a big area that I want to cover. Like, it's above the cabinets in my kitchen and above the sliding glass door in the dining room that I thought really it would help if I had something more in those two areas to really break up the monotony of it. And yeah, the wallpaper, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. One, the pattern was too big that for that area. And I didn't have enough of the wallpaper. It was going to cost a fortune to get enough wallpaper to cover all of that. And just the look of it, the dullness, which, I'm using flat paint. I don't really want glossiness, but I don't know. It's just the print of itself, just wasn't a fan, I just thought it would, I put so much work into painting the walls and stuff, and I just thought it would look, it was downgrade. And I was like, I already invested that into it, and I already got in my head that, it looked off, that I needed to do something different. And I still may, but, I'd thought about putting smaller movie posters above there. The smaller ones that they have, hanging above the doors in movie theaters that, you're going in the right theater. They got the long, the only, 2.5 or 3 inches in height, but then, 12, 18 inches, whatever the fuck it is in length. You can get those posters, and that'd be an interesting way to break it up. But I also thought too, just it needs a different color or something to really to go up there in those two areas. It just looks like it needs to be different. And so I knew this was gonna be a huge pain in the ass to paint those on the wall, but I found, of course, a stencil off Etsy. Or what did I get? I may not have bought that off Etsy. I might have just gotten that straight off a website. I don't recall now. I bought it a while back. I think I may have just ordered it straight off somebody's website. Either way, you can just look, just Google search Overlook Hotel stencil, and you can find it. So I got that, and I've had that again since before October. It was at least September when I got that. I don't remember when I purchased that. It was a long time ago, and I've been sitting on that, but I knew that this was going to be a huge pain in the ass. I've got a couple angles I got to go around, I'm doing it on the wall, not on the ceiling at all, but there's two corners I'm going around with this design, and the stencil itself has a border around it where there's nothing. So the stencil, you can't bring it all the way to the edges on the wall. So there's areas where that pattern's not going to be. So you'd either have to paint something else around that pattern on the edges, or, draw and measure it out and draw it. And it's kind of a pain in the ass. It's a real pain in the ass. What I did so far is I, all the area, I haven't fucked with the dining room, but the kitchen above the cabinets, I painted it all white with a white primer. And just so I could get the, because I knew, I had it painted red, but I also wanted to fix some spots up there because I had filled some, I needed to fill in some more spots, but I had previously put some drywall compound in some spots and I didn't sand it down very good. And it was pretty noticeable. I did a shit job on it. And there was areas where I didn't put any drywall compound where I really needed to. And then when I painted it, the red, I like in the one corner, it ran a lot on me. And because it was late at night and I didn't notice. It was just, I was trying to hurry up and get it done. And it was the time I was just fucking so done with painting. And so I had to go back. And I had to sand a bunch of it and add more drywall compound to areas and sand it down. And because of that, I'd have to repaint over that stuff anyway. And I was pretty certain that painting the orange over the red was going to be a pain in the ass. That I was probably going to have to primer at least that area. So I was like, just fuck it. We'll just paint the whole area white with primer. And then just tape off all the other areas when I go to paint each individual color. But, I mean, there's just so much work. All I've done so far is draw in pencil with a stencil, like a couple of spots. But, it's trying to make sure that those lines are even with like the ceiling and level. It's a pain in the ass. And then, I ordered some different rulers. I didn't have very good rulers to be able to draw in the extra lines I needed. So I got some smaller rulers, like a triangle and stuff, to help me like draw in the lines where I need it. And going around the corners, of course, is going to be the hardest fucking part. But those rulers did get delivered. There's like a pack of three or four different rulers, and there's one that's like a triangle and stuff. So hopefully they'll have a much easier time. They're plastic. I didn't want metal. I have a metal ruler somewhere, but then I bought another wooden ruler. Wooden ruler's way too big. I didn't want to go up there with a metal ruler and ding up my wall and shit and leave more marks on it. But I've drawn the lines on there in dark pencil, you know, marks. So not only when I go to paint this shit am I going to have to, you know, paint the color, but because I've left these big black marks on the wall, I'm going to have to go back over it with the primer again. And I also ordered, you know, the smallest paint roller I could find. Like at Lowe's, the smallest roller you can get is like 4 inches. You can find one that's smaller, but it's only a pack of one. And I think it's a 2-inch roller, but it's like the cheapest like roller holder. The holder for the foam roller is just very cheap. And it's like $5 for each one. And like I needed a pack of these rollers. So I went to Amazon and they had a bundle of them for just a couple of bucks with a more sturdy like roller. And so so I got that, a 2-inch roller. And I'm not very good with painting with a brush. I figure when I get to painting that, I'm just going to do really fine layers each time with the roller, and then just a real thin layer, and then let it, you know, dry a little bit, do another coat, because I imagine I'm going to need a bunch of coats to be able to do it correctly. And it's going to suck. Like, the whole thing's going to suck. My concern though, like the painting part, like I can get down, you know, it'll be time consuming and taping it off correctly. And, you know, I also have like some foam brushes that I thought maybe might be good for painting it. I don't know. I'll try a couple of different methods. I think the small roller is going to be really the way to go. Of course, getting in the corners, it's going to be next to impossible. I'm just going to have to like tape shit off, you know, and it's going to suck. Doing the corners is really going to suck. And then, you know, I got to worry about when you're taping that you're not ripping the other paint off the wall. It's going to be a real pain in the ass. I think the real trick though is getting the lines right when I'm drawing it on there. And the stencil itself is a real flimsy material. And when they cut it, it didn't, you know, I'm sure it moved, the blade moved the material that they were cutting. And so the lines on there are not the straightest. And they vary in width. But I have a fuck ton of painter's tape that I think I got off Amazon a while back. That's the width of the lines that I really want. So even with drawing the lines on there, I'm hoping that I just use that painter's tape to really make the lines. And yeah, it's going to, man, it's just going to suck. there's just no way about it. No other way about it. It's going to suck. But at the end of the day, I mean, I can paint over areas if it, I fuck it up, and I could always go with something else. But like, I think I can make it look great. I think I can make it look good. I've got enough knowledge on painting. It's going to fucking suck ass. It's really going to suck ass. So I'm just trying to take small little areas and work on a little bit here and there so I don't lose my shit over it. And I don't, because I know also if I spend too much time on it at one time, I'm going to phone it in and I'm going to fuck it up. I'm going to, you know, just try to do it too quickly and fuck it up. So I got a 16th chaplet, you know, I got to be like Michelangelo and just take, you know, 16 years or whatever, however many years. I'm not taking that long. But I think this might take me a couple of months just to do just the kitchen. Because, yeah, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time every fucking day doing it. I feel like I'll, you know, in the end, it should look pretty good. But I guess I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up so I can attempt to at least draw some more lines on the wall. I'd like to at least finish that, you know, in the next few days. Getting the lines of the, again, that's one of the more harder parts. Though that's not to say the painting part's not going to be hard either. That's going to fucking suck ass. Suck balls. But yeah, putting those lines, the stencil part's not that bad, you know, going through and drawing those lines on the walls, but then doing the corners and then drawing in the areas where I can't use the stencil, I'm concerned about that. I am about to learn how fucking much of a pain that's going to be. As again, I am about to go outside and get the fucking rulers. So yeah, that's really all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.